Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to The Good, The Dad and The Ugly, the podcast by dads, for dads, and for anyone else interested in the topic of fatherhood. This is blokes talking about stuff, important stuff, dad stuff, the good and the ugly sides of it. I'm Seth, a first-time dad, and I'll be joined by my pal, Jamie, a soon-to-be dad, along with a different guest on each episode. And this is essentially our month-by-month account of what we're going through and what's on our minds as we foray into these unfamiliar, joyful, and often choppy waters.
Choppy waters.
Welcome back, everyone. This is episode 5 of The Good, The Dad and The Ugly, the fatherhood podcast. Thanks for downloading. We have a really special guest with us today who we're very pleased to have, and I will introduce him in a moment. But first of all, I'm going to introduce Jamie, who you all know as my trusty... I shouldn't really call you though, like a sidekick, because that's a bit of a...
No, I guess diss, I... I'd take that role.
Okay.
That's fine. I'm Sancho Panza to your Don Quixote.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's maybe making us much cooler than we...
I'll take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so how are you doing?
Yeah, good. 32 weeks in now. That's, we only got 8 weeks to go. So kind of the home stretch, I guess, which is good. Feeling good.
Got your baby room finally sorted out?
Yep, decorated it this week, which was, an overwhelming sense of achievement. Probably too much of a sense of achievement. I felt like I'd really conquered something because I've been talking about it and not doing it for quite a while. And now we've done it and I just kind of felt myself going in there every now and then after doing it and just looking at my work and assessing everything I've done.
Like, I'm just interested because before we've talked on this podcast before about you and your kind of lame DIY abilities.
Yeah.
So
I have none.
Yeah. So painting doesn't fall. I mean, it's not really DIY, is it? But
no, I was actually impressed. I masking taped it all up.
Right. Yeah. I was going
to say. Did that. Then masking taped the floor, which Nat told me to do. Because we were painting the skirting boards as well, which I wouldn't have thought of doing.
Right, yeah.
So I'm quite glad she told me to do that. So yeah, done all that, put a cot up, which is quite surreal for the first time. Never done that before.
Did you buy a new cot?
No, we got it given to us by... A lot of what we have has been given to us, to be fair.
Yeah. That's the best part about having kids after your mates, isn't it?
That you can. Yeah, you can just nab it all, basically.
Yeah.
Which is great. But putting it up, yeah, surreal. But the baby's not going to be in it for 6 months. So I don't know what the point of it was, really, other than just to kind of tell ourselves that we are having a baby.
Well, you won't have time to do it later, so you might as well do it now.
So I've heard. Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, I've started snoring, which is so I've never snored in my life before.
Really?
So
people always say that, and then it turns out not to be true.
No. Nat's told me. She's just turned to me and said, "Why have you started snoring? I've snored every night for the last 2 weeks, and I never snore. And I think it's because I'm becoming a dad, and that's what dads do. They snore." And I think that's the thing. I'm getting ready for falling asleep on the couch and just snoring the house down. But yeah, I don't know why that is. It's weird, right?
It is a bit weird.
Do you snore?
No, I'm not really a big snorer, but I do occasionally slip into snoring if I've had too many drinks or something.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of which, how's Eliza sleeping?
Not quite as well as I sort of led you to believe last time. I sort of said last time that she was basically sleeping through the night.
Yeah, you've been the smuggest person I've ever met.
Yeah. Exactly. That wasn't quite accurate. To be fair, she did for a little while. She was sleeping through the night and it was kind of amazing. It was like, hang on, is this what it's going to be like from now on? Now she does sort of wake up usually around sort of 4 o'clock, although it's a bit unpredictable. But the reason why I've been getting away with it is because I just don't wake up.
So Alice is very attuned to the baby's kind of cries and movements. So she'll wake up as soon as she starts to stir. So it never gets to the stage where she starts screaming. And so, yeah, I'm sort of blissfully unaware.
So it was never that Eliza was sleeping through the night. It was just that you were sleeping through the night.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, right, okay.
A couple of other things that have been playing on our minds a little bit is that one, she's kind of developed this bloody tendency to have little tantrums every so often.
Right.
Which is...
Over what?
Well, that's the thing. Like, tantrums, what are they about? Like, the whole thing about tantrums, it's not really about anything. There's no discernible reason. She just, something will happen and then she'll start crying. You'll be like, okay. And then it's a bit more and then a bit more. And before you know it, it's like a full-blown kind of just wailing fit.
Right.
And it's nothing, you know, there's nothing that can be done to sort of settle it, basically.
Babies.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
So that's, yeah, that's fun.
Oh, good. I'm kind of glad you're having a bit of a rougher time with it. Like, on a friendship basis, but you did seem to be getting quite an easy ride for someone who just had a baby. I think.
Yeah. That's fair. No, you're right. I mean, you're very within your rights to kind of feel as though I needed a little bit of comeuppance, I suppose.
Yeah, and a reality check.
Yeah, good. That's fine.
Okay, good. Everything else all right with Eliza?
Well, we were a little bit concerned about her weight.
Okay. Too fat.
Yeah, exactly.
She's a fatty boom batty.
As you know, because we had some friends over the other day, and one of them, one couple, have got a boy who, he's quite a bit older than Eliza. I think he's about 6 months, but he's enormous.
Right.
Like, it's extraordinary. He's still just being completely fed on milk, but he's just must be guzzling, like, gallons of the stuff. And I mean, there's no way that Eliza is going to be that size. Will, who we had on our second podcast, his daughter Freya is, I think, about a year now as well. So she's actually older than Theo, who's this other baby. And she's like half the size of him. So it's kind of amazing. So we're not too worried because we appreciate the fact that kids like grow at different rates and stuff. And she doesn't seem like she's not feeding.
Yeah.
She just doesn't drink as much milk as other babies do.
And I guess you can't really force feed them milk if they don't want it.
Yeah, so that's the thing. If they don't want it, basically you'll get to the point where Alice will be a bit like, you know, have a bit more and she'll just be like, start crying, start getting agitated. And it's like, there's no point,
yeah.
you know, getting yourself into that situation.
Oh, fair enough, yeah.
Anyway, we should probably get on and introduce our very special guest for today.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
And that is Simon Hooper, who you will probably better know as the father of daughters or just FOD from Instagram. Hello, Simon.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming on. It's a bit of a coup for us to get you on here.
Yeah, we've actually got someone of interest on this podcast.
You don't like disrespect our previous guests.
They've been and gone. I don't care about them anymore.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it is a big coup because this is a podcast around the subject of parenting and fatherhood in particular. And you are very well known for that kind of thing.
I am indeed. I don't quite know how that happened, but yeah, I am.
So just for people listening at home, could you just quickly sort of describe what your sort of Instagram page is about and, you know, what's your kind of angle on it?
So my Instagram thing is about honest parenting. I was getting pretty bored of seeing social media posts about, look how perfect my family is and look at us all holding hands, walking down a sunset beach kind of scene. And not many people out there were showing the fact that under the high chairs, there was a hell of a lot of dried pasta that no one had bothered to tidy up, and we were all arguing with each other, and we had fights at bedtime, and to be honest with you, 50% of the time we don't like each other, but we all get through it in the end.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to show what real parenting was like. And the other thing was there weren't very many fathers talking about it. My wife started a blog called gasandair.com, which was about midwifery and supporting women through childbirth. And that got very successful. And as a side project, she started an Instagram account. So I was always watching over her shoulder to kind of look at what was happening on Instagram.
Yeah.
And it was all women talking to other women about parenting. And 50% of the parenting team was missing. And I just thought, right, well, I need to try and fill this void somehow. So those two things kind of collided, the fact that there were no dads there and no one was really talking about honest parenting. So I thought, well, maybe I can just fill that void. And that's where it started. The other thing that I do slightly differently is try and tell a narrative to what I'm doing. So some people will just post a photo and then they'll add some hashtags.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do a blog because, well, I don't think that many people have time to read really long reams of stuff and scroll 15 times to the bottom of a page to read something. So one of the things that I wanted to try and do was add a narrative to my pictures and tell the real story about what's happening in that picture and try and make it funny because, to be honest with you, parenting is funny. Being surrounded by kids most of the time, something's going to happen that is just mildly amusing or downright hilarious. And whether it's someone shitting themselves and us having to deal with it, you know, whatever, there is always things that we have to deal with. And I just think that we shouldn't take ourselves too seriously as parents.
See, how many, like, followers, what do you call them on Instagram, followers? Or?
Followers, that's right, yeah. So I now have, at my last check, just before I came in here, 589,000 followers.
Bloody hell.
And that's in the space of how long?
I started March 22nd last year, so that's just over a year.
That's impressive.
Yeah, and that was
a lot.
Well, that was never the, it was never the intention.
Yeah, right.
So it was one of these things that kind of grew organically. But yeah, I've seemed to have gone from zero to rather a big number in a relatively short space of time. So yeah, it's been an interesting ride, that's for sure.
And I've never known whether it's FOD or FOD.
It's FOD.
FOD.
Yeah, people call me FOD. Like, someone stopped me in the street just before I came in here and said, "Oh, FOD, how are you doing?" I was like, "You don't know my name, but you know my acronym."
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, so it's fun.
Because I've been sort of catching up today in preparation for a podcast recording on some of your recent posts.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the sort of storylines in your, I suppose...
It's actually my life. It's not a storyline.
No, I know. Yeah. Okay, fair point.
Not twice.
It is to your, you know, to your readers, viewers, followers, it is kind of like a story being played.
It's an episodic thing which people follow. It's becoming increasingly strange that people know what I'm doing, where I'm doing it, and who I've done it with. So, yeah, but it's quite a strange one. But anyway, I'll let you carry on.
Well, no, because I feel like it's weird that I know this stuff about you. We've never met before, but I know the fact that your wife has been away for the last 2 weeks or something.
She's been away for 8 days.
Yeah. So you've been looking. So you're, and the reason it might not be like well known to everybody who listens to the podcast, but the reason Simon is called Father of Daughters is because he is the father of daughters.
I am indeed. I have four daughters. I have Anya, who's 9. I have Marnie, who's 6, and I have twin girls, Ottilie and Delilah, who are coming up 16 months, but I can't tell them apart. So yeah, I feel like I'm failing at that part of fathering, but I've managed to father 4 girls. So there you go.
On our previous episode, we had Jim Hickey on, who is himself the father of daughters, twin daughters. And he wasn't sure whether they were identical twins or not.
Right, yeah. And this is the same thing that happened to me. Although ours was slightly different. And I'm probably more educated in this area because I'm married to a midwife, which is quite helpful.
Helps.
Yeah, exactly. So, and plus they were Babel number 3 and 4. So I felt like I had enough knowledge around how this stuff works. But my understanding is that they came from one egg. And then the egg split. And then they had separate sacs. So there's a special name for it. I'm not even going to try and give you what the name is. But there was a high percentage chance that they were going to be identical. And when they came out, we still weren't sure. And you can do a DNA test to figure out whether they are. And we decided, you know what, we don't need to.
Yeah.
I'm okay not knowing. And by the way, they look exactly the same anyway. So, you know, it's fine. Whether they are or they aren't, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
And I'm already seeing at the age of 16 months their personality differences.
So that's the only way you can tell them apart. Basically.
Well, there's also one has a birthmark, but I don't want to have to strip them naked every time I want to tell them apart.
Yeah, that'd get embarrassing for them.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Which one are you again? So yeah, but I'm getting there, and as soon as they're starting to talk now as well, so I'm starting to get words, and I'm starting to see different characteristics, so I can tell them apart by their characteristics rather than just what they look like.
Going back to what Seth was saying, actually, it was quite interesting reading some of your latest ones about Clemmy being away for 8 days. Like, was your first reaction, oh shit, this is going to be a nightmare? Or did you think, no, this is great material for Instagram?
No,
those are the only two options.
Neither of those options were the things in my mind, if I'm honest. So, first and foremost, I'm a parent and I actually really enjoy spending time with my kids.
Yeah.
Which sounds crazy, I know, but
4 kids though.
Well, the thing is, it's not like one day I had none and then the next day some UPS delivery guy turned up and said, "Here's your 4 kids.
Right.
Deal with this."
Yeah.
I've had to, you know, grow, adapt, evolve over time to be able to deal with it. Yeah. And I'm glad the twins didn't come first. Let's put it that way. I would have found that hard. Mm. But over time, you know, it's like anything. The numbers build and you know how to deal with it. And I'm, I guess, what you might call it, an experienced parent. So actually, I was looking forward to it. One, I got a week off work, which was fantastic. And two, my wife was away. That's a good and a bad thing. The good reason is because she's not going to nag me about cleaning the house, and I'm also in charge of all the rules, and yeah. Which means I can dress them in whatever the hell I want. And also, I actively encouraged Clemmie to go away. She hasn't had a break from the twins for 16 months, and I think it's unhealthy not to have a little bit of time on your own.
And how old are they?
So they're 16 months now. But anyway, so I kind of just basically made up the rules as I went along, and I did all the things I need to do, like feed them and change them and play with them. But, you know, it's not that complicated. People can make parenting very complicated if they want to. And I really don't see it as that difficult, because yeah. It basically is having fun with little people. And I enjoy doing that. And I think most men, to some degree, are a kid at heart anyway. They don't really grow up, or at least that's what I'm told by my wife, that I need to grow up more. So, I don't know.
Because obviously the Instagram stuff is not your... No. You have a job as well.
I do. I have a full-time job, which people are always amazed by. So I'm actually a management consultant by trade. I'm an operations director for a management consultancy firm in High Holborn in central London.
Right.
And I've been doing that for 10 years. And it takes up most of my working life, really. I mean, I work 45, 50 hours a week, and then parenting is the next bit, and then Instagram comes after that, which means I don't get a lot of sleep these days.
Yeah.
But I don't think as a parent you're allowed to be tired. You're not allowed to talk about being tired anymore. There's that point where you're 21, 22, you've had a heavy night, and you're like, yeah, I'm tired, I'm just going to stay in bed. Now, if you're tired, don't mention the word, because your wife will be like, yeah, well, I've been tired for 6 years, so well, you're not allowed to talk about that, and you're not allowed to have a break. Well, okay, fine. So I'm not tired, it's just what I am now. That's it.
It's your constant state.
Yeah.
How do you separate like your Instagram from, because I would just be distracted with the amount of, you know, if I had 540,000 followers and that many likes per... Yeah, I would just be constantly on that during what I would get no work done. I rarely get work done now when I'm trying to keep up with the Instagram account for this, the Twitter account for this, my own Instagram account, the Facebook account.
Yeah.
Like I'm completely sidetracked by the red dots.
Well, you have to compartmentalize your life. So my working day is my working day. And there are some other bits that obviously will impact that. So if I need to do an interview, for example, or something, I'll do it on my lunch break. But I'm paid to do a job, so I need to do that job. Then really when I get home, or when I'm demanded to come home by my wife, like, you need to come home now, I'll get back about 6:30, 7 o'clock, and then I'll help put the babies to bed. Then the older ones will have a bath, they'll get dressed for bed, get sorted, I'll read a bedtime story. We'll probably eat about 8:30, and then maybe watch some crap on television. But then my evening is kind of my other life, my social media life. And the amount of time that I spend on that is growing.
Right, yeah.
As followers grow, then obviously the amount of time I need to spend on it grows. So I find myself kind of really going to bed at kind of 1 o'clock, and then I get up at 6:30. So I now live on 5.5 hours sleep.
Fucking hell.
But that's fine, because I've been doing it for so long, it just feels normal now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've given up on breakfast. Breakfast is for wimps anyway. So, you know, that time in the morning that I do have is really kind of dedicated to changing nappies, getting bottles sorted, putting on my Lycra to ride to work. Yes, I am a middle-aged man in Lycra, and I'm proud of it. That's fine. And then the day starts again. That's my 24 hours. It's full. So just keep going.
I don't know. I need my breakfast. I don't know. That's going to be, if it comes down to the kids or breakfast,
that's it. That'll be the thing that pushes you out the door.
Yeah, right.
I have found though, over time, the more children I have, the more leftovers there are. So I now go to a restaurant and I won't order myself a meal, because there are four children and my wife, who probably won't finish her meal as well, which constitutes a whole meal. So I'm saving money by eating leftovers, and that works for breakfast as well. There is always milk left in a bowl with half a bowl of Cheerios. Fine. If I need breakfast, that's what I'll have.
So every meal's a mezze.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
nice.
It's fine. I'm the loafer of my family.
Are you getting to the point though where you are thinking about giving up your day job? Maybe you can't speak about that.
I thought you were just about to say, are you thinking about having a fifth? I was like, no.
Well, we can talk about that, yeah.
Well, we can get onto that later. Am I thinking about giving my day job up? No, not at this stage. I'm so used to having this kind of balance in my life now for the last year. And yes, the balance is changing a little bit. But I do love what I do as a profession. It keeps my brain active. And it's a slightly different work to my Instagram work. Instagram is like being creative and being funny and being, you know, good with writing and making sure I communicate with people and engage with people. And my day job's a little bit more different to that. And I like both of those parts of my life. So at this point in time, I'm happy to balance them both. But I can see a point in the future where it may be difficult to
when
to
you
keep
have
going.
More kids.
Well, now we're talking about that subject. We're moving straight on. Well, that may well not happen because I'm considering a vasectomy.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So, and when I say considering, I mean reading
You've planned
things on the internet. No. Reading things on the internet to see whether or not I'm likely to have everlasting pain in my testicles afterwards.
Is that a thing, then?
Yeah, that is a thing, right? So apparently 5%. I will be 5%? That
5%. That's quite
high. Hang on, I haven't finished the sentence yet.
I know what you're going to say.
Well, knowing my luck, I'll be the 5%, I know. But they do have kind of residual pain left in their testicles after they have a vasectomy performed. And also, there's this kind of weird masculine thing that I am no longer able to have children, and how do I feel about that? And I don't know how I feel about that. I'm still trying to get over that hump, which is a weird one because none of my friends have had that procedure. I was the first one of my friends to have kids as well. So I'm also going to be the first one to consider that. So I don't have many people to talk to about it.
Yeah, I just think it's very final.
It is, yeah.
You know, that's you making the decision, and who knows?
Yeah.
But presumably, I mean, if you've got four kids.
Yeah.
That's probably that decision is.
And you know what? It would be another girl anyway if I had another one.
So, yeah, because I was going to ask. So you had two girls already when you had the twins. Were you trying for? I mean, obviously you don't really know what's going to happen, but
one more roll of the dice.
I'm from a family of three, so I have a brother and a sister, and Clemmie is also from a family of three kids as well. So she has a brother and a sister, and I like the dynamic of three.
Yeah,
and it was just my luck that it turned into twins. And I wouldn't change it for the world, don't get me wrong. But Clemmie told me via text message that it was twins.
Right.
And I think I remember kind of just sinking to my knees and I was like, why does this keep happening? Like, I can't get the boy, I've got twins.
Yeah. Simon, so you had the twins, two more girls. Do you feel like you're basically completely outnumbered at home?
Well, the maths tells me that I am. I mean, it's one against five. Yeah, I do feel outnumbered, but I mean, not in a bad way. I think my girls aren't terribly girly girls. If they were constantly running around in fairy dresses and doing loads of girl stuff that they weren't involving me, then I might do. But in reality, I think children at this age are fairly malleable. They take on to what's around them. So if you're interested in science or I'm trying to get my daughter interested in what's going on in CERN, for example.
Right.
That's not going well, by the way, but I think it's important that they learn about these things. So I'll spend time with them talking about this stuff. And it's not that they're androgynous at this age, but they're not like women or men.
Yeah.
They're children and they are sponges of information. So it's just having that ability to relate to them and talk to them about something which is of common interest, which is great. Don't get me wrong, I still get the fairy dresses and go to gymnastic classes and all that kind of stuff, which is fine. But I've made my peace with that. And they still come and watch rugby with me, like when it's played. So we have our crossover points. We have the points where it's just me, usually when I'm doing DIY in the shed or fixing my bike or doing something like that. And I enjoy that time.
Yeah.
But I also enjoy being a bit of a girl now and again, like getting my nails done with the girls, or you know, that they have this obsession. I'm basically a living mannequin to them, so doing hair and nails is like the thing that they do.
I mean I guess because you sort of alluded to it before, it's like that you said that you'll probably feel more outnumbered at the point when they're kind of teenagers.
Yes, definitely. I think where they get to that age where they are young women, that's probably where I'm going to be like, oh man, I don't know. I don't know what to do with this anymore.
But they'll probably love you. Like, I mean, not that they.
Yeah, they'll love it when I hand out the £20 notes. Yeah, I'm sure they will.
But just, I think
or
just
be the taxi outside the nightclub that they're coming out of. Yeah.
No, because it's fine. Because at that age, they'll start bringing boys into your life. So that's
No. We have an agreement. That's not happening. There's no way that's happening. That's one thing I do think about, like, occasionally. Like, how am I going to deal with that? I know that's a while off now. And my eldest is 9. What, 6-7 years away, hopefully? I don't know. I've got no idea. How will I act when I'm in that situation? Will I be the domineering dad? Will I want to scare the crap out of him like they do in the films? Or am I going to be a little bit more accepting and trust my daughter in her judgments? And I'm not there yet. I don't know. But I've still got a couple of years to make up my mind around how that's going to look and feel.
Yeah.
And I'm sure whatever plan I have will fall apart when I meet the Joker who she's picked. So we'll wait and see.
I think the route to go on this one is to just be as embarrassing as possible.
Oh, I'm
just
already, like, doing that.
Utterly. Right, okay. We'll just ramp that up. As embarrassing and awkward as possible.
The problem is that I've found as your children get older, it doesn't matter what you do. They find you embarrassing.
Yeah, sure.
Right, so there is nothing... You might think you are the coolest guy on the planet. Like, Anya doesn't care that I've got 589,000 followers on Instagram. She thinks I'm a moron. Like, and she thinks that my dancing is terrible, that my singing's terrible, my jokes are awful.
Yeah.
But that's just a father and daughter relationship, I guess.
Yeah.
And that I'm okay with playing that kind of fool role, if you will, because I think my dad did it to me and his dad probably did it to him. So.
Of course. Just going back to what you said about kind of getting involved with what their interests are, quite a lot, you know, the stuff that you do with kind of the, when you play Barbie and things like that, like,
yeah,
you got them to do like I saw a Dragon's Den one, which, yeah, I thought was quite clever, and that just to kind of get them to think about business and that kind of thing. I thought that was quite good.
Yeah, well, I think so many parents out there would usually say, like, oh yeah, no, off you go and play, and then kind of leave their children to their own devices to do that. And the way that you, well, to my mind anyway, is that to get them to have that creative imagination is actually to encourage it, to engage in it, to be part of that. And they may well tell you just to kind of sod off and I want to have a bit of time on my own. But also, I think actually being part of their playtime is important. And yes, I get to be a kid again and play with myself, but I'm actually being part of their development, which I think is important. I think one of the things you notice when you become a parent is, and as your friends start to become parents, is your Facebook feed solely becomes this feed of babies and children and look at what so-and-so has done and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And it's a natural thing because as a parent, you're very proud of what you've done. And look, I made a baby. Yeah. It's a good thing. And look, it does this and blah, blah, blah. And no one else might be interested, but you feel like the need to share it. So it's just one of those things that naturally happens. If you look at people at the age of 25 and under, you won't see any of that. From 25 to 35, it's full of it. And I think that's why Instagram has been a good an outlet for parents, because it's quite quick, it's photo-based, and it's something that's not Facebook, basically. So they can be quick about what they look at and just kind of get on with parenting afterwards.
Yeah. And what do you think about kids, young kids, sort of at the age of your eldest, you know, getting or having their own accounts and things like
that? So, yeah, I'm not comfortable with my daughter having an open account that is just open. Especially, it's maybe different from my circumstance to other parents. When I've got 589,000 followers, there are going to be quite a lot of people who know my children, and they could go and find out what their account is and follow them. And I'm, you know, I have to be as protective as I can. And so even though some of her friends have accounts, I'm actually probably more vigilant about them having a social media profile online. My eldest daughter does have something called Musical.ly. Have you come across Musical.ly at all?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Right. So it's an app which they do snippets of songs to. And it's basically kids who record videos to those songs.
Oh, yeah. I think Jim was talking about it in the last one.
It's starting to generate a generation of children that only dance with one hand, right? So they hold the phone in one hand and then they will do dance moves like with one hand in front of their face, like to represent the words in the song.
Yeah.
And I've said she can have that. That's fine. As long as it's a private account and it's only your friends that can follow you. It was open, and then I realized that that's not cool. But there are a surprising large number of parents out there that will give kids access to social media, and I don't think they're necessarily checking on who's following them or where they're posting it to. And I don't know if it's out of naivety or just not really, you know, caring about that kind of side of it. But kids are spending an inordinate amount of time in their bedrooms recording videos or YouTube things, and they're going up onto the internet. And as parents, you need to have an active kind of role in monitoring that stuff and kind of making sure that what's going out there is okay, and also you know who's looking at it. I have analytics that sit on my account, and the original plan for me was to talk to dads. I wanted to engage dads, like you guys are doing. And I think it's a great thing, because not a lot of dads talk about parenting to each other. It's kind of this thing that you kind of sit on. And I think this is great because we're talking about it. Anyway, that was the intent. 90% of my followers are women.
Right. It's because you're a good-looking guy, that's what it is.
Obviously. Well, yeah, no, you can't see it on this podcast, but I am really handsome. Anyway, the point being that women tend to be nicer. You take that with a pinch of salt, because there's a lot of catfighting that goes in there as well. But the comments that they will make tend to be nice, complimentary. And I don't know if this is... this is what, from my experience, trolls tend to be guys who are sitting in their room in dark corners looking at a laptop, who've got nothing better to do, and kind of just thinking, God, this guy's an arse. You know, he's doing stuff that I can't do, therefore I'm gonna make a horrible comment. And I've never had a woman make a mean trolly comment. It's always a guy. Always a guy.
Unless it's a woman pretending to be a guy.
Oh, you flipped it on me. There you nice go. Job.
So you never know. You never know. That's a supremely clever troll.
That is the weird thing about the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows?
You never know. We could all be women right now.
You sound very well versed in this.
I'm
this is
you,
worrying.
I'm to all my mates. I'm not even lying.
Right, that's it for part one. We'll be right back after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I know that you do quite a bit of traveling for your job.
Yes.
The States and various other places.
I do.
My job entails travel as well, though I haven't actually done a trip thus far. So I was just wondering if you had any kind of tips, or how was the first trip that you did, work trip, without the kids?
The attraction of my job was the travel. That's why I did the job in the first place, because you get to go and see the world, right? So I set up a shared service center in Manila in the Philippines, and I do a lot of work in New York and Chicago and Philadelphia. So I do a fair amount of travel, but the novelty of travel wears off relatively quickly.
Yeah.
And even more quickly when you've got a family at home. Mm. That said, so when I first moved to London, I was in a situation... from Bristol.
Right.
So I originally moved here for the job that I'm doing now, and it's evolved over time. But I was put on a job which was based in The Hague, in Holland. And my wife, Clemmie, had moved up with me to London, and our daughter was 5 weeks old at the time. And I was on secondment in Holland for 6 months. I flew out on a Monday, got back on a Friday.
Oh, wow.
And I was having the life of Riley. It was great. I was staying in a nice hotel. It had a water bed. Like, everyone was giving me food. I went out for nice meals. And I'd come home, and my wife was living in this basement flat. She didn't know anyone. We didn't know the neighbors. Oh, she'd got a five-week-old baby. And she had some serious kind of depressive problems while we were doing that. And it made me realize that although... it was important for me and for my job to do the traveling, you know, actually there are more important things like the sanity of my wife. So we got through that stage, but now that we've come out the other end, we know how to deal with it. And it's really organization. I need to know a month in advance before I'm going somewhere,
yeah,
so that we can organize grandparents to come up, to figure out if we're going to use a nanny or a nursery to help with the childcare. And when I do go away, it's not like I'm going to take an extra day at the end anymore. I used to stay out for an extra day so I could soak up the city. And I've kind of done that now. Yeah. And also, if I said to Clemmy, I'm going to Miami, I'm staying an extra day to experience Miami, she would kill me. So
you could get the vasectomy done for free.
Yeah, exactly. And I have to be careful about what I post online and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, it's more a case of in and out relatively quickly. I can spend some time in the lounge, get out, get to the hotel, do my work, get back on the aeroplane. And traveling has become a kind of chore of efficiency now that I just want to kind of get through it to get home, because I know that when I get home, she's going to have been looking after the kids for 3 days. It's usually a Saturday morning when I get home as well. And depending on what mood she's in, she'll either say, right, you need to go and have some sleep because you haven't slept very much. Or she'll say, I've had enough. You may have had 2 hours sleep on a plane, but you're taking over now. And she'll go out and get her nails done or go and see a friend or something. But it's one of those balancing acts that you have to kind of deal with. So yeah, the novelty's worn off. Be in, be out, do it quickly. Get home and do your parenting duty.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid having this situation for this. I've got a trip booked to Chicago and New York in June, the end of June. And I'm basically trying to persuade Alice, my girlfriend, to come with me.
Yeah, I've never done that.
Well, she came with me on another trip when she was pregnant.
Right.
But it was, obviously before the baby actually arrived. And that was a much easier decision because it was, straightforward for us to kind of get there. But the thing that sort of slightly making her apprehensive is just the stress of getting, because I my flight's already booked and stuff through work, so she'd have to get a separate journey and get there by herself. And I'm just like, let's just do it.
Yeah.
But we're about to kind of test out how hard it is to do, because so my girlfriend's from New Zealand.
Right.
And we're leaving for Wellington on Friday.
Okay.
So what day? It's Wednesday we're recording. So in 2 days' time, we'll be halfway there.
Okay.
By this time on Friday.
Mm.
God, how long is that flight?
28 hours. Oh, so there's two stops on the way.
But then I guess with a baby that young, it's kind of, that's the best time to do it, right? That's the easiest time to take
abroad. We booked it this a while ago before the baby arrived, but that was what we figured. That's what people said to us.
Well, I've got two pieces of advice, right? So one is work related. Don't start bringing home gifts after work trips, depending on how frequently your work trips are. So my wife would always want a new perfume from the airport.
Right.
Standard.
Fine. But the frequency of my chips started to pick up and it was costing me a fortune. And then the kids wanted something and a key ring wouldn't suffice. So it's like the bag of M&Ms, which is $25. Like, well, why are they charging that much anyway? And then it's the clothing and the rest. And there was a point where I just had to say, I'm not bringing you any more gifts anymore. And everyone cried, including my wife. I was like, no, I can't do it anymore. It's costing me like $1,000 every 3 months to bring home stuff for you. So I'm not doing it.
You're getting a magnet and that's it.
But to the other half of what I was saying, so traveling with young kids.
Yeah.
So we went to Morocco for New Year's Eve.
Right.
And we took my sister and Clemmy's sister and all the kids. And it was fine going out. Absolutely no problem. On the way back, we didn't make any bottles up for the babies. It's only 3.5 hours flight, mind you. So we thought, well, we might be safe. It's okay. And like, we weren't sure if we could get it through customs or made up and all that kind of stuff, which you can, by the way. So if you're listening to this, make bottles. For God's sake, make them. You can carry them on the plane and get them through security. No problem. Yes.
What? But only if they're under... No, hang on.
If it's baby's milk and it's under a certain measurement, you can. Look it up on the internet, but you definitely can take bottles on the plane.
I mean, do they test it? How do they do
it? Yeah, they drink it. No, I am joking. I don't know how they test it, but they just seemed like it was okay. But the point was, so we didn't have bottles on the way home. And their ears started to play up as we took off, obviously. And being a baby, they can't express that. So they just cry and cry and cry. And we had two babies, obviously. So Clemmy would take one and walk down one end of the plane. I would be down the other. We would cross.
So both ends of the plane would be like...
So yeah. It's like surround sound crying for everyone on the plane. So we would walk down to meet in the middle, then cross over. And the end, I had a brainwave. I was like, hang on, they've got UHT milk, haven't they? So I got 40 sachets from the air stewardess and piled it into a bottle that we had in our luggage. And fed them on that. And that finally kind of sorted it out. But geez, don't get on a plane without a bottle or a dummy or something that is going to enable them to,
get the ears sorted.
Because that was a learning curve for me, a very steep one over a 3.5 hour period.
We will do that.
That's probably the best advice we've had on this podcast.
That is the best single piece of advice that we've had, I think. I think so. Yeah, if we have that for like 28 hours,
I mean,
we might not make it to the other side.
How can you take enough milk for 28 hours?
No idea.
Yeah.
Well, Alice has still got breasts.
That's a good point.
But maybe breasts don't work at like 40,000 feet. Maybe they stop working.
Well, you're about to find out, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
Report back on that one. Two breasts stop working at 48,000 feet.
The difficulty for me was moving to video and doing moving stuff. And I was really scared of that because that's a whole different world. Yeah. Like taking a quick picture on your phone and writing a caption, yeah, I can do that. Actually coming up with an idea or a concept for a video and trying to make it fun and entertaining, but also keeping it real at the same time is different. And I'm actually starting a YouTube channel this month.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I've decided to try and... you know, embrace that side of it, not move away from pictures, not move away, that's not fair, I'm still going to be doing the Instagram stuff, but using YouTube to connect more about the realities of parenting and just try and do some funny stuff really and make people laugh about parenting. So
do you have an idea of how often you're going to do
so in my head I'm going to do it once a week. It really comes down to how much time I'm actually allowed to do it. I've just got this picture in my mind that it's going to be in like the pitch black because I'm going to be doing it at 2 o'clock in the morning and it's like it's all going to be fake lighting and I don't know when I'm going to find time to do it. But the videos have kind of opened up a new world for me on Instagram. So it's difficult because they're restricted to 60 seconds. Yeah. So it requires a lot of heavy editing to try and get my story across and try and make that work and still be funny. Whereas YouTube is unrestricted in length. So I can kind of put some of the other stuff that I might have put out there previously and do longer edits of things. So I'm still trying to figure out in my head exactly what that looks like. But
when you do your videos and also, you know, your pictures with your descriptions and stuff, like how much do you kind of think about, like, do you, so when you said before that, you know, you have your phone ready and you take a picture.
Yeah.
You take a picture presumably because you kind of think this is like a funny moment, but then how much do you think about afterwards? Like, how do I describe this in like the best way?
The energy goes into the description, definitely. So the language that I use is about how we engage as parents and making it relevant to people, because everyone has usually been through one of my situations that I've been through. If you're a parent of any age child up to the age of 9, you're going to have experienced this at some point. So it's relatable. Yeah. It's making that language that I use to describe the picture relatable, funny. I usually use a metaphor of some sort to say this is similar to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But the idea is just to give people a laugh and a bit of an escape from, they might have had a crap day, and just try and make people feel better that they're not alone in their situation, that we're all doing the same stuff. We might not all talk about it, but I'm willing to, so have a laugh at me.
One thing we should talk about, the brown dressing gown. Now what's...
Ah, yes. What's Old Brown.
That? Yeah.
It has a name.
Okay.
So they were wedding gifts that were given to us, when were we married? 2008.
Right.
And it's just part of my weekend routine that Old Brown would be there. I'd get up and, you know, I've used it for storing bottles and, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's a horrible, horrible dressing gown. And actually, there was a company that took pity on me and sent me a new dressing gown.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Fat Face, I think it was. And
that'll be another one in the post.
There you go.
Yep.
I just had it for a long period of time. It's older than all of my children. So,
God. Fair enough.
Yeah, and it had to go in the bin the other day just because.
Whoa!
Yeah, it's horrible. It smells.
It's gone.
I mean, you can wash it though, presumably.
Well, yeah, but it's like washing a towel like 100 times and it starts to lose its fluffiness.
Yeah.
And it's no longer that nice, comforting blanket that you put on in the morning. It's like this scratchy thing.
Right, yeah.
So, man, you've sold out. You've got a fat face. And
what's colour of old brown? What colour's your new...
It's grey with sheep's wool lining.
Oh, my God.
Sounds like fucking luxury.
It is. Believe me. It feels good against my skin.
Yes, but will it hide all the stains, like the puke stains and all that, which old brown did so well?
That is true.
You obviously got sent that free dressing gown.
I mean,
just for people to send you other free stuff?
Once you have a certain number of followers, people send you stuff. And it's great. I mean, it's free stuff. It's great. I'm not going to complain about it. But our house is starting to look like a UPS delivery depot where we will... And I'm on first name terms with the delivery guys that turn up. There's like 5 different companies and I know all of their names now and I know how many kids they've got because we get 5 or 6 boxes a day of stuff.
Is it always good? Is it always stuff that you want, or do you kind of something looking?
Well, I mean, how many baby grows do you need?
Regifting though—that's
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's nice that we get that. There was never the intention of why I got into this. It's a fringe benefit of like the reason why I got into this. The one thing is that you start to get when you have a large number of following is advertisers want to work with you.
Yeah,
And it's a natural thing. You have a following, you have an audience of a certain type that people want to engage with. And there seems to be this whole holier-than-thou kind of thing that followers get annoyed about if you're advertising something. And why shouldn't I use a platform that I built over a year to advertise something? If someone is willing to give me some payment or something to be able to do an advert in a way that I wanted to do, and I get to keep the product at the end, then why shouldn't I? And in fact, the money that I earn from that goes to feed my family and to put them through school or get them all the stuff that they want. And I don't think that's necessarily a negative thing. There are some people out there that really do see it as a negative. They're like, oh, you've done too many adverts. I'm unfollowing. Well, you can say that if you want, but put yourself in my situation and you need to buy some things for your kids and you don't have the money because you've paid your mortgage and someone's offering you some money if you hold up a product and talk about it, then you might think differently.
Yeah. Just to be clear, we are fully on board with that. And if anyone wants to send us any, Nike Air Max ones would be good.
Any endorsements, James is happy to do. I'm more judicious about these things, but, you know, I go pretty low.
This brings us on quite nicely, actually, to the segment that we usually run around this time, which is Dad Tech. On my way here, I was on Twitter and I saw the best thing I've seen in a long time. Ford cars have engineered, and I'm giving them a name check because basically send me one. If I could get one to review, that would be great. And then I can do a proper review. But until then, I've seen the YouTube video and everyone should look at this. It's basically they've created a crib which mimics the movement and sound of a car. So, nice. And not just that, but it's got LED lights around the rim, the inside rim, which again replicate like the orange flashing street lights going past. So they kind of like strobe past in a rhythm that would be the same as street lights going past in a window. And the base of it, I guess, like tilts and undulates as if it was if the car's turning. And underneath is a speaker which has a like a muffled, reduced engine noise and vibrations. Now, if that wasn't good enough, what it also does, it links to your phone. So if you've got a drive that you do, which you know your baby falls asleep to, like going up to the shops and back sort of thing, you can take your phone with you on this drive, hit record or whatever on your phone. It records the movements of your car and the speed at which you go. And then you can come back, plug it into your crib, and it will replicate that exact drive. Now, never mind it for a baby. Make an adult size one, because I want one of them, because that would send me to sleep like that, I'm telling you. What is the most like obscure thing you've done to get one of your kids to sleep?
I don't think I've had to do anything extreme. I think my kids have generally been quite good sleepers, and I've been lucky about that. I've not been the person to crow about it either, just in case it blows up in my face. But I think just picking them up and rocking them is the thing that I was most used to doing. And then there's this kind of silently putting them down as if they're a bomb or a landmine. Like, don't let it go off. We've got to put them back into bed quietly and then kind of retreat to a safe distance before you can shut the door and remember to pull the music cord as you leave. And then hope and pray that the monitor doesn't start crying. So, I mean, it's just a standard kind of issue, rock and, you know, shake until they're going to sleep.
I mean, I always find that when I do that, like, they're perfectly sort of relaxed and asleep.
Mm.
And then you do that.
Yeah, it's the motion. Okay. It's the motion.
As soon as you put them down, it's like...
It's the motion of
fuck
moving from vertical to horizontal. It's obviously their internal gyroscope is just like, nope, absolutely no way am I doing this. Something's happened. My eyes are closed, but something is wrong here. And I've not got this warm body next to me anymore. I've got this cold blanket and this stupid teddy bear next to me. And it just sets them off.
To be fair, if I fell asleep standing up and someone tried to lie me down, I'd know about it, wouldn't I?
Depends how drunk you were.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that is probably the only time I would fall asleep standing up. I've got Clemmie's book here, How to Grow a Baby and Push It Out, which you feature in, right?
I do.
In a couple of places.
Yeah.
I like this, especially the second bit that you wrote, which, let me just open it up on there, which was the partner's perspective of, like, after the birth and how to kind of, like, deal with not just becoming a dad, but how to then, like, be... I guess, mindful that your missus has gone through something and she's recovering from something, and how to like be a help around the house without just kind of going, is there anything I can do? Sort of thing,
exactly. And like, maybe we take it for granted that women are supposed to have babies, but they go through a hell of a journey, like emotionally, physically, and in a number of other ways. And it's very easy for us to be like, geez, man, they complain all the time, or... why can't they just relax? Well, mainly because their body has changed, their hormones imbalances have changed, they've carried another human for 9 months, and they just need support and help after that 9 months. And it's a real emotional drain for them, and you need to be there as a kind of positive influence in their lives.
Mm.
So actually just learning how to help, how to be around them, and how to like just give them a break in those first couple of weeks, because especially if they're breastfeeding, they're going to feel drained. It's an important thing.
I've actually got like the text of one of your captions from your Instagram here. It's sort of a shout out to sort of mums. So I just thought I'd read it out. It's quite long, so bear with me.
Sorry.
Clemmie's been away on a well-deserved break. And after walking in her shoes for a couple of days with all four girls, I feel the need to give a shout out to all the mums. To the single mums, the working mums, stay-at-home mums, and every other type there is. The mums who grew, fed, and lugged around a baby and gave birth, whatever way you did it, who do the night feeds next to snoring men and change more nappies than there are combinations to winning the lottery. To the mums who pound the pavement with a buggy on cold days and attend the happy clappy classes when you feel like shit. The mums who do the school run, who sign permission slips and wait endlessly for their kids. To the mums who prepare food, whether it's a pouch or a Michelin starred, with little gratitude from their offspring. To the mums who struggle to squeeze a shower in and drink cold tea. To the mums who buy the kids' clothes and organise the family calendar. To the mums who just get on with it, despite being overtired and underappreciated. You are amazing. I don't know how you do it day in, day out, and you should be proud. Yeah, so what was your kind of thought process behind that, Simon?
Well, I think in today's society, the majority of parenting, and hopefully this changes over time, but the majority of parenting at home is done by mums. Dads are still the one that goes to work, and especially around maternity leave, mums are the ones that will stay at home, and will be the ones that come home at 6:30, 7 o'clock and kind of do the bath time, bedtime routine. But there is so much goes on while we're sat in the office, and I think there's just a need to appreciate just how much work goes into parenting when fathers aren't necessarily around.
Yeah.
And also how boring it can be. It's not a thrill ride every day. It's a grind. It can be hard work, and just an appreciation and a pat on the back, or bringing something home to say, you know what, I know what you're going through, or I appreciate all what you're doing while I'm at work. It can make a huge amount of difference. So just never forget that. Make sure you say thank you, make sure you're saying you're doing a good job, and make sure you say that they're appreciated.
Hear, hear.
Well, I think that probably about wraps up the conversation for today. Thank you so much, Simon, for coming in and joining us.
No, thank you very much for having me on. And I love what you guys are doing. I think it's a positive message. We need to make sure that we're talking about this more, not just only between fathers, but, you know, between parents, and be open about what parenting is about. So you guys are doing a great job. So thank you for having me on.
Please, could you continue to sort of help us reach other fathers and, you know, anyone else who's interested in the topic of parenting by downloading and rating and reviewing. Rating and reviewing is the key part, because that will really help us kind of reach other people, reach other people, reach other people.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.